You are listening to The Alex Way.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Alex Way podcast. This is your good friend, Alex Moraes. And I am so happy to be here with you again. This is the first episode ever since I have rebranded my podcast. It used to be all about studying, living, and working abroad. It is now a platform for us to talk with soccer coaches, fans, as well as players. And it's all about passion, dedication, leadership within the soccer community in the soccer world. So without any further ado, I would like to introduce you all, podcast peeps, to my special, very special guest today. His name is Axel Duarte. Maybe some of you already know of him, and if you don't, then please listen up and pay close attention. Axel Duarte is originally from Venezuela. Venezuela, beautiful country in South America. There's a lot of interesting facts about it, but one of them is it gave birth to Axel Duarte. And he left home to play soccer in a whole new level. Started out in Venezuela in a few clubs, such as, for instance, Estudiantes de Caracas. And then, obviously, that international experience in Swedish fourth division soccer, if you didn't know this, Gimo IFFK. And anyways, he went up to play in college as well here in the U.S. at Lindenwood University, where I had the pleasure to cross paths with him. Today, Axel Duarte is not only a former quality player, but he's also a professional indoor soccer player for St. Louis Ambush, as well as a soccer coach. He has a new project going on, and he has a lot of experience when it comes to youth and college coaching. Additionally to this, Axel also studied marketing, and now he's a student about to graduate or on the path to graduate from his Master's of Science in Sports Management at Missouri Baptist University. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, I give you Axel Duarte.
Thank you. Thank you, Alex. Thank you for having me. And I'm really happy to share this moment, this episode with you. Really excited about your project as well. So thank you
so much. And I appreciate your time. I appreciate your family, your wife, for giving me permission to to interview her amazing husband.
you got that right. I can tell you know me. I can tell you know how this works over here.
Well, I'm telling you, almost 3 years of marriage. You've been married for the longest, but yeah, yep. Well, that's how business rolls, right? Anyways, so I just wanted to thank you. I'm excited to have you. We're going to have a beautiful conversation here among two former players, now coaches. Now, you're taking this whole approach to the next level, and we'll get there. But first, could you tell us, coming from the man, the myth, the legend, who Axel Duarte truly is?
Man, Lynn, that could be a very simple and a very deep question, right? But Axel Duarte is just, to be honest, somebody who's been extremely lucky to have been involved with the soccer community and football in general since I was very young. I've been very lucky to have my family, especially my mom, who has supported me since I was very little, to follow my passion. And well, she keeps doing it. And now I found my wife as well, who she actually plays soccer in at Lindenwood University as well. And she's really passionate about the sport. So I'm just another guy who has been trying to make something special and give something back out of this to this beautiful sport, who has given me so many opportunities in life in general. that's the best way to summarize my, yeah, my experience and my personal definition, I guess.
Wow. No, I mean, that's like, mic drop. That was very humbling. Very, very humbling. That's awesome. I mean, I met your Lindenwood man, and something that I've told you about, and some people don't understand me unless they get to know me, but I tend to see the good in people instead of the bad. That's something that my father instilled in me, and I'm so glad he did, because I just don't go around in life judging by first impressions. But it's very interesting, speaking about not judging based on a first impression, because my first impression, and then second and third and so on and so forth of you, my friend, is being someone who is very talented, but who does not only relies on the talent, he works hard for things. You innovate, you're entrepreneurial, and you're academic on top of things. I mean, you're someone who professionalizes yourself all the time. Can you talk to us about why just going out of your way to professionalize yourself in the soccer industry in particular?
Well, in the soccer in particular, I just feel like now that I'm in a coaching role or position, I have a lot of responsibility, especially towards the younger generation. And I do think that I should take, or I should prepare myself as best as possible to give the best knowledge that I can give to these kids that I train and I try to coach. We can talk a little bit, I'm sure we're going to talk a little bit about it later, but that's the whole basically main point of my project, is to basically share those values, human values such as respect, determination, hard work, honesty, and responsibility, like, to all these kids, because I think the sport has given me the experience to learn about all these human values, and these are things that I can not only use it for the sport itself, but for life in general. And if you're able to basically evolve from those values, you're just gonna try to become the best version of yourself, and that's what I strive for every day.
That's awesome. Evolve 360, we're getting there. We're getting there, guys. But that's excellent. That's great. Thanks for sharing. I'm curious, Axel, what made you decide to leave Venezuela? I mean, obviously, when I hear Venezuela, and I'm someone who studied politics, economics, public administration, I read about it, I understand about it, but it seems like the general public only assimilates, once the, oil capital of the world, now dictatorship. What else could you tell us about? Like, what was it like leaving? Why did you do it?
Well, to be honest, my reason wasn't from a political standpoint. I think like my decision wasn't based on that, because at that time, it wasn't the Venezuela that it is now. You know, like, we were in some issues, we were going through some issues, but it wasn't that nearly as bad as it is now. And to be honest, my main reason was basically academically. That was the first thing that I, because being in Venezuela, to be honest, I didn't even think about going to college. That was I told my mom, and my mom has this in a frame and written down and everything, like in her house. When I was 13, I told her that I wanted to play professional soccer. So,
wow. So that's amazing.
My mom was just like, you know, my back all the time. So, hey, you wrote this, you made your decision, you're still gonna go and try your very best academically, but there's no more messing around or anything like that. If you wanna do it, then let's try it. And she really pushed me in the athletic side of it. And then by my senior year in high school, I didn't have any options in going to college, because I wasn't even thinking about it. And then at that time I was playing for Caracas FC, which is I was in the U17s, sometimes training with the U20s. Wow. But I felt like there was a lot of I don't know, it wasn't very consistent. You know, sometimes I started and sometimes I will drop and not even make the team. So I don't know, maybe I just didn't have that much faith in me at that time. And then somebody came and proposed this option to me, and I thought that I could take it. You know, I would just felt lucky that I could take advantage of a little of the talent that I had to basically go to college, which I didn't even think about it before. So I never thought about coming to the U.S. and studying in the U.S., to be honest. That was out of my reach, for my family at least. So it was a really good opportunity, and I'm really glad I took it because it was probably the best decision that I have taken in my life.
That's awesome. No, that's great. I mean, it's interesting. You never really truly know someone until you approach them and really dig in and show interest in their story. I mean, I'm learning myself in this interview about you. That speaks volumes, Axel, when you are telling us that you were a little kid and you wrote something down, a statement, and look at you now. I mean, you played fourth division European soccer, well, football, which is a whole new level. You played in Venezuela, which is not your typical American high school, American college, okay? This is way more advanced. And now you're a professional indoor soccer player. I mean, what the hell, man? I mean, this is amazing.
Yeah, it was definitely a big thing when I first signed my first professional contract. Just because, well, it was at Lindenwood. I played and I trained, but I still had that goal in my mind, you know, like even though that I went, I tried to go to college, I still wanted to try afterwards. When I came here, it was only 17, so I wanted to graduate as soon as I could, so I could still be kind of young to try to play after college. So, and that's what I did. After college, I had a few tryouts, I ended up going to Sweden, and yeah, so I went all the way across. It was my very first time in Europe. I never visited Europe before, and it went really well. I met really good people. That's something that I have to say. I've been really fortunate to come across really, really good people who have helped me a lot. And maybe that's why I try to contribute that to my kids and people who come across and need support as well. I try to help them because I think it's the right thing to do, I guess.
No, that's great. I mean, now that we have more perspective about where you come from, and also very interesting to see that at the core of who you are, your mother figure is there. So great to know, because at least I know this to be true in Honduras. So many kiddos without the support of their parents. Well, here in the U.S., I coach in OTP, I coach in college, I coach in club, just like you do. And there's some kids that come from those absent homes or empty homes, right? There's no nucleus, there's no role models, there's no cheerleader there to be behind that person emotionally. I mean, how key has your mother been still today?
Yeah, she still is, man. She's the one that keeps pushing me, but at the same time, it keeps me on the ground as well, you know, keeps me humble. But she definitely is the one that makes me strive for everything. She makes me think that I can achieve anything. And that's the way I grew up with her. She's a super hard worker, single mom, who did everything. Wow. So, and gave me all the opportunities, everything that I could have ever asked. So I'll be always be grateful, you know.
What's her name? Can we have her name? Yeah, is that okay?
Daisy Escobar.
Daisy Escobar. Shout out to Daisy Escobar. You are the MVP here, okay? Awesome. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, I want to go now to what was it like to play college? There are so many kiddos around the world, as well as in the U.S., that think, you know, I mean, we got to go to college because it's an opportunity to play and also get your education, which is something that a couple of Central American African countries lack. So what was it like to be in the college setting?
To be honest, my college experience was great. It was really, really, really good experience from the athletic side of it. From the personal side, I struggled a lot, especially my first year. And that's probably not a lot of people know about this as well, because when I came here, I was only 17. We graduated, like I graduated from Caracas in May, in July, and then I was here in August, already for preseason. And my mom wasn't able to come here with me, basically to drop me off, which a lot of parents do. So I had to come basically by myself with another friend. And my English wasn't good enough. It was very, very basic. So it was just a struggle that, you know, things that you have to overcome and make me stronger for sure, make me mature. But then the people that I met, and you can, well, you have experienced it, the people that I met at Lindenwood was unbelievable. It was probably the best experience of my life so far. I've met people from all over the world who I can still talk to them right now, and they're like family now. So that's definitely something that I'll never forget. And I'll take away from that college experience more than even the soccer part, because the soccer part, we were a very successful team. We had a really good group of guys and friends. And some of those guys are my business partners as well now in our thing. So we were a really, really close group, and I loved it. I really loved to be around different guys with different cultures. I think it made us mature, and we grew a lot. As a person and during college, for sure.
Wow. Now, it seemed like you experienced culture shock. Mm-hmm. Culture shock in so many ways. Language barrier, right? Because although you spoke the language, maybe it wasn't as fluent as it is today, right? And then you didn't have that support system. You left the known for the unknown. You didn't have I had my mom drop me. It was very difficult, I remember, but she at least dropped me, and you just came on your own. I mean, I'm telling you, man, you're a survivor. I mean, you're a survivor. I mean, it's admirable. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. It's just different circumstances. You know, like people live different. I'm sure you have your own experiences that you have to deal with difficulties and stuff. So, but yeah, it was just part of this process, and I'm just grateful because, to be honest, I learned a lot about myself, about the things that I could accomplish or things that I have to go through in order to become the person that I am, and I'm still trying to be. So,
absolutely. No, I completely understand and can relate to it for sure. Okay, so you talked to us a little bit about that college experience. Let me just, before I switch into the next chapter, but really quickly, could you tell me what was it like for someone like you who comes from Venezuela, comes from Swedish football in Europe, to now experience American soccer in college, and maybe not the greatest sort of coaching per se from a technical knowledge standpoint, how was that like for someone who wants to study abroad and comes from that strong background?
I came straight from Venezuela to the college setting, basically, and then from there I went to Sweden. So yeah, but
okay,
but basically
got
the
it.
Experience that I had at the U level was really high, really super really high expectations, especially at the club that I was. But the person who helped me to come to the United States and to Lindenwood specifically, he basically told me, he's like, the American soccer, especially college soccer, is just super physical. You have to be extremely fit. And he now owns a college recruiting company who is very
oh, wow.
successful. But I was the very first kid that he helped out. So he's like, you need to help me. You know, you have to make a statement once you get there in preseason, because he's like, I saw you as like, you were, you know, amazing player and stuff. So you have some pressure. so, So,
Oh my God. Yeah,
so he's a really good family of our family, friend of our family, sorry. And well, so I basically prepared myself, I remember, for a month and a half, trying to be as fit as possible. So when I came here, I remember there was a lot of quality in the team, but basically I was a lot fitter than most of the guys. So that's basically how I squeezing into the program. I ended up playing in the varsity team because at that time Lenovo had two teams. So I ended up playing in the varsity team by mid-season. And then from there, I just basically stayed in that first team and actually became a captain my last 2 years. But yeah, from the coaching standpoint, it's a lot different, as you said. But also coaches here, they're not only focused about the athletic side. And that's something that us players then later realize. You know, they have a lot more in their play than just the performance and on the pitch. They're worrying about the academics, yes, about recruiting. So there's so many things that now academics. That I have a little bit of experience with the college. Now I understand, it's like, man, yeah, if you've been doing this for 20 years, it makes sense that, you know, like sometimes you're like, I don't know, you have to take a little bit the foot out of the gas because you can burn out pretty quick, I think.
Yes, no, I mean, that's a fact. We see it at East Central College, ranked out the number one in Missouri. I know you're at a whole new level because I'm in the junior conference NJCAA. Now you are in NCAA D2, if I'm not mistaken, actually, correct?
Missouri Baptist.
I'm sorry about that. NAIA. I mean, but yeah, but you played at Lindenwood, which now is D2. So interesting. Yeah. So yeah, absolutely. A lot of this coaches experience so multiple roles and responsibilities that can take away from the main focus in terms of the physical aspect, performance, and the football tactics and why not approach. So absolutely. I mean, and who knew you're now in the college setting? I mean, you're what's going on there?
So basically this guy, Juan Carlos Casco is his name. He's the one that helped me to come here to Lindenwood. And he opened the coach recruiting company in Latin America. It's called BK2 USA, Becados in Spanish. So I basically work with him. I actually own one of the territories in Latin America, which is Peru. So I'm in charge of that with actually another teammate, friend of mine, Hernan Gonzalez, who played at Lindenwood University as well. So yeah, basically, I was trying to place a kid from Venezuela into Missouri Baptist, and then Jacob Alvernia, who is the head coach there, told me, he's like, dude, do you have your master's? Do you want to, like, I know you have been coaching for a while, you played for them, so are you interested at all, like, maybe getting your master's, being here as a GA, and at least you get that experience at the college level? So just like that, all of a sudden, that happens, and yeah. Like, I'm like, well, you know what? I've been working with the youth level for a while, so let's experience something with a little bit more competition in that competitive setting. And also I get to keep growing academically as well. So it was a good opportunity.
Absolutely.
I'm extremely busy with that and trying to work in different things, but yeah, one more year for graduation. So we'll see.
That's right. One more year. Push till the end. You're almost there. And how interesting, I think, for everybody listening, I guess that is the perfect example of being at a certain spot at the right time, at the right place, at the right time. I mean, I think it only sounds like divine justice, to me at least. Why? Because so many things, it seemed like, took effort. Took so much, and now because of you being the best, giving the best you can, being positive, I think life is somehow rewarding you. I'm someone who believes in God, so I would say you're blessed. You're truly blessed, and I can see why. So I'm very proud of you. Very proud of your college coaching experience, and I know there's so much more to come. That good Lord, I can only imagine. But now let's talk about how in the world did you, because there are only two more points that I'd like to get out of the way before we go to something special. But what happened? How did you end up at St. Louis Ambush? Were you already an international student studying at Lindenwood? Was it afterwards post Lindenwood? How did you end up playing professionally in the indoor setting in America?
Everything started with my coach. My coach at Lindenwood University, Carl Hutter, he helped me out. So when my senior year at Lindenwood, the St. Louis FC, which is the USL team, started here in St. Louis, basically. It was their very first year. They basically came to watch one for games, and they invited me to do like a preseason camp with them. So I went there, did the whole preseason, didn't get signed. At the end, the level was very high. It was very high, and I also needed like a visa at that time to basically get signed. So, then that happened, and then from there, actually, the Anguish came along and gave me an opportunity, a 1 year contract. So I played. It was a completely different sport, to be honest. It's really crazy. And for
right.
People who are watching, and maybe are not familiar with the indoor soccer, just look it up on YouTube. And it's almost you play in an arena. It's almost like a hockey arena, but on turf. So it's a lot of things, little details that you have to just get to know about the game. So now I play 1 year.
Wow.
And I signed for 3 more years. And that's when I went to Sweden during that off season. And while I was in Sweden, basically the owner of the Ambush at that time, I didn't hear back from them, anything at all. So that's why I had to go back to Venezuela, because I didn't have a visa to come here to the U.S.
No way.
So yeah, that's what I was going to say. Oh, you say like things are falling, you know, right there and stuff. I'm like, well, that's one side of the story, but people don't know the behind the scenes, I feel like. You know, so there's a lot of uncertainty in the sports.
No, sure.
It's just things that we all have to deal with. But yeah, then I ended up playing Venezuela.
For
and
sure.
And after I got married and everything like that, and I was back in St. Louis for good, I basically signed a 3-year deal with the Ambush, and now I'm going to my fifth season this year. So
that's amazing. Congratulations. And no, it's great. It's great to know that you have that. You're an asset for them to obviously extend your contract, and for all of us to continue to see you at those arenas to play, because I've seen you a couple of times, my friend, believe it or not. And it's so cool to see you signing autographs for little kids, parents, I mean, people, multi-generational audiences, really, you know, the grandparents, the aunts, the uncles. I mean, it's really awesome to see the impact that you have on and off the pitch with now the Ambush team. So, I mean, my respects to you and the rest of the team, and I'm a fan, and I hope there's more action for us to see. Now, talk to me about, because we're running out of time a little bit, but talk to me about Evolve 360. This is something that that captivated me, and I mean, if you're not watching this video, if you're just in that podcast, because yes, the video is going to be up on YouTube, you should see this man right here with his logo, his nice gear. I mean, this is something else. Like, what inspired you to start this, and what is this all about?
I'm going to say this. To be honest, the first person who inspired me to do this was, again, my mom. Right? My mom was the one that
no way.
That kept telling me, like, Axel, man, like you do a lot of coaching already, all these things. Why don't you just create like a basic, kind of like a blog, right? And just share whatever, you know, like your training sessions or whatever you want to do. But I'm a person that if I decide to do something, I'm going to go all the way. I like to have some high standard of whatever product I try to deliver. So I kept telling her, you know, yeah I agree with you,
for sure,
but this is just not the time right now. You know, like I don't have the time. I don't have the financial side as well, whatever. So when the pandemic started, I was already developing a few ideas. And I'm like, you know what? This is the time. Right now, everything is kind of like in standby. Let's work on this. We went at it. We created the whole brand. The logo right here is 360, which is basically, as I said before, it's the whole idea of developing players in a holistic way, not just as soccer players, but looking at the human inside them and developing that human to be great leaders in the future for the society with great human values as well. So basically, my whole idea is just for kids to want to play at a high level, to want to receive good coaching, because I'm not going to say I'm the best, because I'm still evolving as evolve. You know, we're still continually.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Continually learning.
Spot on.
And that's the whole idea. Just tell the kids or transmit to the kids or share to the kids that you're never at your peak. There's always one more step, one more thing to do.
Right.
In this case, I focus in the mental part of the game, not only technical and physical, but in the nutrition part that sometimes, especially here in the American society, gets overlooked. And so I try to go more of a holistic perspective of training to training methodology. That's the key.
That is so interesting. And let me tell you, I've seen your posts. We can find Evolve 360 in the most popular social media. First of all, I guess Instagram, also Facebook.
Those are the two.
Am I missing anything?
For the brand right now, I have my own Twitter account. Those are the two, Instagram and Facebook as right now.
Excellent. So check out Evolve 360 again on Instagram and Facebook. And support young, promising coaching talent that's making a positive impact. Let's just support each other. Also, Axel Duarte, let me say the American way, Duarte, it can be found also in social media, as he said, in Twitter, as well as in Instagram, and also Facebook, if I'm not mistaken. Anyways, I think... before anything else, before the lightning round that I have prepared for you, which is something that I didn't tell you in advance, so surprise. But I want to know what is, because you mentioned a couple of different times, and that's the whole essence of this podcast, is to interview people like you who played the game, now coach the game, they're professionalizing themselves, and now they have lived all these experiences. And you said a couple times, soccer has given so much to me. So what is probably the best that soccer has given you?
I think, Alex, to be honest, I'm not going to go with one specific thing, but it's just the journey of my life.
You know? Sure.
Everything since I can remember has been around a soccer ball. And I never in my life imagined playing in the streets back home while my mom was at her office. I'll be in, I don't know, downstairs just playing with a paper ball that I just put tape around. That was my soccer ball at the time. And to be here in St. Louis, to be in a position where I'm an assistant coach at a college here in the U.S., to be able to travel around the world playing the sport that I love, to be able to be in a position to impact many young lives and that they see me in those ambush games as, I don't know, as a, like a superhero, which is crazy to me because it's like, you know, like I just try to motivate them and I just try to be a good role model for those kids. You know, I feel like one thing that I've been taking away from a really, really good coach, Mike Quante, he's the coach for Whitfield High School. He told me something that it's funny how coaches always have high standards for their players, but never for themselves. So that's been my challenge now, you know, try to keep those same standards or trying to do the same as I ask the same for my players. So
that's excellent. I mean, that's the reality. Actually, Mike Quanti coaches at ODP, and he also has been an instructor for the Federation, I think, the D license and why not. Possibly you've had him as a coaching instructor. I know you were working with him at Whitfield High School. That's excellent. I mean, that's excellent. I know I didn't paraphrase the question quite well, because I should have said, what's the second best or second, third best thing soccer has given you? Because the number one is your wife. So that's my bad. So tell her, please. Please.
Yeah.
Please, thank you. Okay, so the last thing is going to be a quick lightning round, Axel. And Axel doesn't know about this, but this is a quick lightning round. I'm going to say probably one word, maybe a phrase. I think I'll stick with one word. And then, Axel, hopefully you can quickly say the first thing that pops in your mind when I say this the word to you, okay? Okay, let's go for it. Ready, set, go.
Love.
Venezuela.
Everything.
Family.
A dream.
Children.
Care.
Internationals.
Great.
Sweden. People.
My second home.
USA.
New
indoor
passion.
Soccer.
My
coaching.
I forgot how to say it, but like my inspiration or my, you know, my motivation now or something like that. I don't know. Something like that. Going for there.
Excellent. No, that's excellent. The last thing.
My life.
Football.
My life. Yep. Everything's been always around football.
That's awesome. That's right. Well, man, I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much for being a part of the Alex Way podcast, of being the super guest for our first episode. I can't thank you enough for sharing your story with me. I treasure it. A lot, really. I'm humbled by you, and I can truly say that I wish you the very best. I truly do. I pray to God that you, man, continue to fly to new territories, man, and soar high and be an impact as a Latino coach in U.S. soccer.
Hopefully
you'll see you in some other countries too, right? So. Awesome. Well, Axel, anything else that you'd like to tell our audience
to thank
before
you
we leave?
For this enjoyable conversation, as we were speaking before, that this might go 20 minutes, 25. I already knew now it's just gonna go, and I feel like we could go forever. But thank you so much for having me. I loved it.
Sure.
I will always be around for anything that you need, and yeah. I'll be here for you guys as well. And for all the best for your family. Stay healthy. And thank you so much.
Thank you. Again, this was the Alex Way podcast. Thank you for tuning in on episode one. This was an interview with Axel Duarte, professional indoor soccer player, former Venezuelan international, now soccer coach. Check out Axel Duarte in social media as well as Evolve 360. I'll see you next time. Ciao.
You've been listening to The Alex Way. We're all over the internet. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn.